Hello and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host as always, Kyle. Today we will be going over our week two slate of games. This episode is coming to you about a day or two later than usual. I apologize. I got really, really busy at the end of the weekend, start off the week, just work-related stuff. But still going to get you guys the content just so we could talk about this past week of exciting games. You know, more exciting action in the CSFL and the MSFL. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get right into it. So first matchup of the weekend was Penn versus Cornell. Penn won that one 21-9. My player of the game was freshman running back JT Goodman. He finished the game with 76 yards and two touchdowns. First two touchdowns of his career for the first year running back. So again, Penn managed to win this one. I wouldn't describe it as back and forth, but, you know, Penn had the lead. Cornell closed the gap. Penn, you know, finished it out with the two-score differential. But this was not the, you know, the best game you're going to see. This was not the best offensive output you're going to see in the CSFL. Both of these teams have had better performances. You know, I think both of these teams are in a point or a particular point in their program where they are trying to develop talent, trying to attract talent, and just making do with what they got. You know, on the Penn side, junior quarterback Ty Scher, he went 9 for 23. Actually, pretty eerie. Cornell quarterback also went 9 for 23. Very rarely do you see two guys in on the exact same pass percentage mark, but I digress. He threw for 135 yards with two interceptions. The reason Penn did win the game was because, again, their running game was more effective than the Cornell running game, or effective enough that the Cornell defense could not stop it. You look at JT Goodman, who is a freshman for them. Very, very quality running back. I think he's going to be a guy who may be something in the future as players around him develop. You know, hopefully that offensive line can improve, or they can get in some guys who are going to be able to produce more, particularly when going against high-level defensive linemen in the CSFL. They've always had strong running backs. Didn't hurt that they had a either average to really, really good offensive line. But he's a talented player, and I think you can see that. You know, unfortunately, he was out of the game very, very early against Chestnut Hill. It'll be interesting to see him at full force when they match up again later in the season, should he be at full force. But he played well enough against Cornell, and I think seeing some of the game, you can see he's a legit player. The Penn defense, again, held Cornell down enough, you know, forcing some interceptions. Sophomore linebacker Gavin Griswold led the team with 9 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks. And sophomore linebacker Charles Taukes, who's one of their other best players, has 7 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. Penn hits the road next week to visit Army. Other side of this one, again, not one of the most exciting games you're ever going to lay your eyes on. Senior quarterback Cooper Wise, again, he also went 9 for 23, only threw for 78 yards. He did throw for a touchdown, but he also threw for a handful of interceptions. He threw 2 interceptions. So not so much great, you know, elite defensive back play, just, you know, inconsistent throwing, inconsistent route running, you know, not elite level playmaking from those skill positions, from those wide receivers, resulted in a lot of turnovers on both sides for both offenses. Senior running back Ralph Florenville led the team with 58 rushing yards, and the lone touchdown that was thrown by Wise was thrown to sophomore wide receiver Marcos Hernandez. Defensively, Max Dellenhuda led the team with 11 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 sack. And then senior defensive back Jaden Queen, who was named co-defense player of the week in the CSFL, so congratulations to him. He probably had the best game of his entire career. He has 6 tackles, 2 INTs, and 2 PBUs. 2 INTs is a career high, and I believe the 6 tackles is a career high for him as well. Cornell will actually be taking a long hiatus. They won't be playing again until October 13th. So be interesting to see how they come out of essentially a two-week bye. Although they will be playing Army when they come out of their extensive break. Next up, we have Army versus Mansfield. Army won this one 47-6. My player of the game is junior running back Henry Beck. Ran for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. Army won their first game of the season with a balanced attack on both sides of the ball and also balanced, well-distributed offense between the passing game and the running game. Senior quarterback Mikhail Wilkie threw for 157 yards with 2 touchdowns in his season debut. He is going to be the catalyst for this offense, without a doubt. You know, despite Beck having essentially the best game of his career, Wilkie showed he could make every throw. You know, he can fit it through the tight windows, challenges corners one-on-one. He can push the ball down the field. I said this about him since he's taken over at the helm. He's not one of the quarterbacks that they've had in the past who's just a byproduct of what they do. You know, he's actually an engine for the offense in terms of being able to make the throws that really lead that offense to being its most dangerous, not just, you know, adequate enough for them to win games when Wilkie's at the helm. He's a legit guy. He's the most legit guy they've had since Keegan West. So definitely exciting. I know they're excited whenever he steps on the field, and it's always exciting to see what he can do with that offense. Doesn't quite have, you know, Tom Williamson or Donovan Mannion, or at least, you know, that caliber of guy hasn't, you know, burst out yet. But when you have a quarterback like that, he's going to make a lot of guys look a lot better. So definitely interesting to see how that offense performs for the rest of the season. Junior running back Henry Beck, again, had the best game of his career, almost 130 with 2 tutties. You know, they haven't really relied on their running a game, you know, the last 4 or 5 seasons. It's been kind of a running back by committee thing with Beck and Connors and some other guys who just thrown in there. They haven't really had an elite running back since Marquise Burrell, who's a CSFL Hub Hall of Famer. He's one of the best running backs to ever play in the CSFL. If they can get consistent production like this out of Beck, it's going to be hard for a lot of teams. It's going to be hard for a lot of teams. You know, he's a hard runner. You know, even when they had Gigliotti was really, really good for like a year. Didn't put together like a whole body of work. But if they can get production like this out of him, they're gonna be really, really dangerous, or as dangerous as they've been, you know, any year that they were near the top of the league. Senior defensive lineman Ryan Rass led the team with 7 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. And freshman defensive lineman Cameron Allen played very, very well in some garbage time. He had 3 tackles, 2 tackles for loss with 2 sacks. Army heads home next week as they welcome Penn to West Point. Other side of this one, we have Mansfield. You can tell by the score, Mansfield struggled in this one. But it was especially, you know, difficult for them to, you know, produce when junior quarterback Cassid Raymond left the game. He left the game due to what could be described as a questionable hit. Really bang-bang play. I didn't see the hit happen. You know, I was having some issues with the stream, and by the time it came back on, it had already skipped over that point. I did have someone send me a play. You know, I think my opinion on the matter is irrelevant now. And, you know, being an athlete, I know how, you know, fast these plays happen. And you got to make a split-second decision. I think it could be perfectly described as a questionable hit. And I think we can move forward from that. You know, hopefully Cassid is going to be okay. You know, he's a great football player, but he's an even better young man. So, you know, I'm hoping it's nothing serious. Doesn't appear to be anything serious, but hopefully he'll be back next week, because they're definitely going to need him. But before he left, he threw for 188 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions. Also added 51 rushing yards, and he had lots of classic scrambles. Really puts pressure on you as a defense to make sure you are consistent with your rushing lanes. And when he inevitably breaks the rushing lanes, you got to have some athletic, particularly defensive ends, who can go out there and chase him, make him tote the line, and, you know, make him commit to running and not just, again, toting the line while still looking to make a play down the field. Junior wide receiver Eli Swan, had a career day. 5 receptions for 99 with a tutty. You know, best game of his career if he's going to be a guy who can consistently make plays for them, especially across, I believe, Junior LeTrenton Randall. Who's a guy who could really pop as well. If one of them can really, you know, develop as a legit number one, similar to like a DJ McLean who's on the coaching staff there now. I think that's, you know, one of the missing pieces for this offense, because they have a running game with Kassid and, you know, senior, you know, all-around athlete Terrence Quaker, and they got some other guys in there like Cherry. And they get guys every year who can effectively run the ball, but they really haven't had a legit number one since, you know, McLean left. And it's hard to just say, oh, let's just get a guy to replace, you know, one of the best guys ever. I get it. You know, there are some positions at some schools that are just, you know, steeped in legacy. And for Mansfield to go to a Kurt Logan, to a McLean who was there when Logan was a senior and he was a freshman, and then him to play all 4 years, you know, it's hard to just match that type of production at the drop of a hat. So hopefully one of those guys can develop, and it appears Swan is might be headed down that path, at least early in the season. Again, defensively, a lot of points gave up, but definitely were some highlights, the biggest of which was senior linebacker Matt Robert. He had 11 tackles and 4 tackles for loss. But an even bigger news, Matt Robert moves past Mansfield all-time great linebacker Jake Myers for the career record for most career tackles at Mansfield. He was tied with 208 with Myers to start the season, so he literally only needed one more tackle. Did 10 better than that, got 11. And not only is he the all-time leading tackler at Mansfield, he's the all-time leading tackler in sprint football history between the CSFL and the new MSFL. You know, I don't think that achievement could be, you know, hoisted up enough. You know, look at all of the great linebackers who played in the CSFL. All of the great interior defensive linemen, those are usually the guys you see generate lots and lots of tackles. You look at a Cody Crossdale, he's like 180 plus, and Brian Layden, who along with Myers and Robert is the only other player, you know, since 1934, or at least since statistics were accurately recorded, to have 200 plus tackles. And again, it's very, very impressive that a nose guard can do that. And Crossdale is just, you know, right behind Layden, like 180-ish, I think. But to have 200 plus tackles is nuts. He's essentially averaged like 11 or 12 tackles a game. He has more games with double-digit tackles than games without double-digit tackles. And I think that's evident in getting that record. But that's crazy when you think about it, like how tackles just naturally get distributed throughout your team. And he's played with other great players. It's not even like tackles are getting funneled to him. He's played with, you know, Chase Moser, who's an all-time great guy, very, very elite hybrid guy. Spent a lot of his career as a defensive lineman like myself, did some linebacker things as well. You know, he's played with, I think, one or two other all-league linebackers before, whether they be second team or honorable mention. He's played with some other guys who were like hub recognized as well. So he's played with other good players now. It's not just like him, you know, standing tall alone. So for him to play with other good players and still achieve this record is just a testament to his ability. It just can't be understated enough that this record is one of – this might become the most unbreakable record in sprint football history when you look at it, because he has another 6 or 7 games to play. Again, he averages like 11.5 tackles a game. This might be the most unbreakable record in sprint football history when it's all said and done. Like, I'm not sure what other record. You know, some of the Russian records are a little untouchable, especially when you go back really, really far, just a lack of legitimate teams, lack of elite players, you know, dispersed throughout the league. You know, Tim Ortman himself was very, very great, but some of the teams they was playing, it wasn't doing nothing. You know, they ain't really had nobody. And that might be the most untouchable one, because you basically got to come in the league averaging a stack for 4 years, a stack plus. You need a K a year for 4 years to even begin to sniff Tim Ortman's like all time rushing record. But this tackle record might be the next most unbreakable record, because let's just say, I think Robert's had 70 tackles a season, every season. Like 71, 77, 72, or maybe even this very might have just been 69 or 68 or something. You got to get 70 plus a year for 4 years. Now, a guy who's actually on that pace is Avion Bass in the MSFL for Fombon. But again, he a year and one game, or a year and two games in a year or two. And it's hard to keep up that pace. And he does so many other things. He's one of the best pass rushers as well. But to line up at Mike and get 11 tackles a game for every game, is nuts. So I'll leave it at that. Definitely going to be something I highlight, you know, once he finishes his career. But just want to take time to mention that and just how impressive that is. You know, right next to him, junior linebacker Gavin Hedman actually led the team in the game with a game-high 14 tackles. Mansfield hits the road next week to take on Navy. Next up, we have Caldwell versus Chestnut Hill. This is our last CSFL action of the weekend. My player of the game in this one was senior quarterback Frank DeMio. He led the team with 199 passing yards, a career-high 4 touchdowns. Also added 20 rushing touchdowns on the ground. So just a career day for the senior quarterback. Another staple program win for the Cougars. They showed how dangerous they could be on both sides of the ball. You know, the conditions likely affected both quarterbacks just a little bit. Like, it's actually really cool now that we have two conferences, how geographical location, you know, plays a part. Over in the Midwest, watched some of the games, you know, hearing some of the players talk. It was like still summertime out there. A couple of those games, they were saying it was like 95, you know, or 88 feel like 95. Like, it was peak summer weather out there in terms of heat, you know, heat index, humidity. You know, everybody here on the East Coast, you know, we've been dealing with rain. Basically, it fall hit us like really, really fast, really, really hard. So it was a little bit of wet conditions out there. I just find that fascinating in terms of the dichotomy of the league now that we have two conferences Midwest isn't so far away, but far enough away that they have their own weather pattern that's different from, you know, the CSFL, which is, you know, mostly made up of East Coast teams. So the wet conditions, you know, maybe affected both quarterbacks a little bit, but clearly not enough to, you know, have DeMeo, you know, not have basically one of his best games of his career. Again, 199 for 4 touchdowns. That may be the most passing touchdowns in the game at Caldwell. I got to check. You know, one of their only other quarterbacks they've had who's given them any production was Tajay Irby a few years ago. He maybe had a game with 2 or 3, but do some research. I think 4 might be the most, or at least tied for the most. I'm in Caldwell history. If it's not most, it's someone had 5 and it's the second most. But he right up there. He's either 1 or 2 in terms of passing touchdowns in a game for Caldwell. So big ups to him. Sophomore running back Devin Turner once again proved to be an invaluable asset to Caldwell. Finished the game with 75 rushing yards. Also had 2 receptions for 52 yards and a receiving touchdown. So he had almost 130 all-purpose yards for the sophomore star running back. You know, he's definitely proving so far. I mean, his young career to be the best running back in the CSFL. And he's still so young into his career. Again, he's a season and 2 games into his career. So he's definitely on pace to do a lot of great things there. And he picked up right where he left off last year, winning Rookie of the Year. So definitely be interesting to see how the Cougars continue to use him and utilize him in the offense and how effective and, you know, dynamic he can be as an athlete for Caldwell moving forward through not just this season, but for the rest of his career. Senior wide receiver Jeremy Colon led the team with 3 receptions for 93 yards and 2 touchdowns, one of the better games of his career. Definitely is a guy who is continuing to show that, you know, he's a legitimate deep threat, you know, if not the best deep threat in the CSFL. Very fast guy, and he's continuously made plays for them, you know, isn't always called upon to dominate the targets because they have so much talent in their wide receiver room. But whenever his number is called, you know, he's consistently produced. Senior linebacker Jamal Redis and senior defensive lineman Ernesto Hernandez were 2 of the staples on defense for the Cougars. Those 2 combined for 17 tackles, 4 tackles for loss with 3 sacks. So definitely menacing from those 2. Hernandez is a guy who's been there for some time now, so it's good to see him, you know, play up to his potential. And Jamal Redis, who's, you know, been an outside linebacker there now for, you know, a good, this senior year, his 4th year. Good to see him, you know, producing as well. Senior defensive back Giarno Longobardi continues to have a strong start to his season. This is his 2nd straight game with 2 interceptions, and he is the other guy who won defensive player of the week in the CSFL. He had 2 interceptions for the 2nd straight week in a row. You know, some guys get 4 in a season. That's a good season. That's a good season in a 7-game season. But, you know, 4 in 2 games is nuts. You know, it's hard to keep up that pace. And, yeah, you know, especially being a safety, sometimes the ball just bounced your way versus you got to go up and make the play. And, you know, interceptions are one of the hardest statistics to come by Because you are either trying to force an error or you're relying on an error from the offense, be it quarterback or receiver. But again, to have four, some guys don't have four in their career. There's some really good corners and safeties who got like three or four in their entire career. And, you know, for him to have four in the season so far, it's just a testament to his ability and, you know, the depth that they have in the secondary there at Caldwell. Caldwell stays home for the second game in a row next week as they welcome St. Thomas Aquinas. Chestnut Hill stayed within striking distance for a time in this one, but they couldn't do enough to get the win. Sophomore quarterback Anthony Cancellara, you know, had a down week compared to his first game, but still threw for 185 yards, threw for a touchdown, but the three interceptions, you know, did not do the Griffins any service. Freshman running back Lawrence Howard saw his first collegiate action, and he made the most of it. He finished with a team-high 38 yards, also had a rushing touchdown for the freshman. Junior tight end Nick Ocampo led the team in receiving yards. He had 58 on five receptions. And senior defensive lineman Larry Fonville and sophomore linebacker Lex Williams both had seven tackles apiece, as well as one tackle for loss apiece. Next week is a bye week for the Griffins before they take on Stack, but they will be playing Stack in New York. So that was the end of our CSFL action. Then we flip over to the MSFL. First action of that conference was between Quincy and Walsh. Quincy won that one 27-14. My player of the game was sophomore defensive lineman Bryce Vaught. He had eight tackles, three tackles for loss, and one sack. Quincy got their first win of the season. And despite the early struggles in this one, their playmakers came through in the end. Sophomore quarterback Nick Manzo threw for 190 yards, three touchdowns with three INTs. Now, those three touchdowns, you know, proved to be the deciding factor in this one despite the three turnovers from sophomore quarterback. Freshman running back Trevon Hagler-Wright led the team in rushing yards with 79. Two sophomores, two names, you know, you always watch out for whenever the Hawks line up to play, are sophomore wide receivers Camden Pye and Xavier Hinton, two totally different types of receivers, but they are both integral in the Hawks' offense. And this one proved to be no different. The pair combined for nine receptions, 88 yards with two touchdowns. Hawks' defense, you know, stayed strong despite a push from the Cavaliers. Again, Vaught had best game of his career so far. That is eight tackles, three tackles for loss with one sack. And then freshman defensive backs Jaquaz Hicks and Austin Moore both had a pick apiece that helped secure the win for the Hawks. Quincy heads back home next week as they take on Camden College of St. Joseph, the Crimson Wave. Other side of this one, we had Walsh still searching for their first win in program history. Much like Oakland City, who I'll get into later. Said this last week about both of them. You know, they're just going through the natural ups and downs that come with your first season. You know, it's not that a loss is, you know, ever going to be taken well. There are definitely good losses and bad losses. I know some coaches don't believe that, and I know it's hard to believe that as a player. I've been there. But again, this wasn't a bad loss. And again, when you factor in the fact that this is their first season, lots of these plays, or at least these first two games so far, have really been lessons. And I know that's a hard pill to swallow, but no team has escaped what has come to both of these teams so far in their first two games. It happened at Chestnut Hill, happened at Caldwell, happened to St. Thomas Aquinas. You know, Alderson Brodus is no longer with us, but it happened to them. And last year was, you know, a very unique situation where everybody was new. So everybody went through those ups and downs together. And a hierarchy has already been established despite all the teams in the MSFL besides those two only being in their second year. So I say all that to say these are just those natural licks that come. Like it's bound to happen. You cannot escape it, especially, you know, if you want to be a competent, competitive team. So there's definitely a lot to like, you know, about this Wash team so far in the season. Oakland City as well, getting to them next. But there's definitely a lot to like. The passing game, you know, still developing. It's still developing there, still looking for a quarterback who can play consistently. Played three quarterbacks in this one, the three combined for 51 yards, only six completions, and two interceptions between the three quarterbacks. So, you know, finding that position is integral to football. That position doesn't have to be your best player, but it needs to be a competent player, or it's really going to hinder your team. And, you know, all three of those guys can continue to develop. So, you know, that'll be interesting to watch is as the season goes on for Walsh. Freshman running back Tavion Robinson led the team with 39 rushing yards. And then freshman athlete who's been explosive so far this season, Jalen Gordon, added 22 yards with a touchdown. So, again, the rushing game isn't quite there yet. There's some big explosive plays from guys just making it happen, but they haven't been able to consistently and methodically run the ball. But that is a part of this maturation process. A freshman defensive lineman, Alaquan Harris, led the team with 8 tackles, also had a half a tackle for loss. Defensive star for Walsh, however, was junior defensive back Jordan Pete. So, you know, despite the inconsistencies, despite the struggle so far, there are some shining stars who already shown through. You know, Jalen Gordon scored a touchdown for them. I think he was the guy who scored the kick return touchdown in the first play of the game against Midway last week. This week it was Jordan Pete, who had one of the best games ever for a defensive back. And a game that will stand the test of time at Walsh University for as long as he's there, even when he's gone. He finished the day with 6 tackles and 3 picks. Again, he had 3 picks against a team with 2 of the better receivers in the MSFL, one of the best duos in the MSFL, one of the best duos in between the MSFL and the CSFL. And he went right up with them and competed with them. And all 3 of those picks, I believe, are jump balls, 50-50 balls, where it's just me and you. It's just me and you. Who wanted more? Who going to go get it? And for him to go up and do that against 2 guys with more experience than him, 2 guys who, you know, are going to be all-league caliber guys, you know, production is going to go up and down sometimes, depending on the week, depending on the season. But the talent of those 2 is, you know, undeniable. Those are 2 top 10 receivers in the MSFL, no matter how you slice it. And he went right up with them and competed with them, and he came away with 3 picks. You know, again, taken back to Giarno and for Caldwell, some guys have 4 picks in the career. He had 4 picks in 2 games. Some guys have 3 picks in the season. Some guys have 3 picks in their career. He got 3 picks in a game. If he don't have another pick all season, he going to have more picks than 95% of the 2 leagues. It ain't going to be a lot of guys that got more than 3. And it's going to take some guys 7 to get 3. So that's just a testament to his ability. And again, specifically the way those picks happen, he went up and got them. He went up and got them against very, very capable, very good receivers. So that is eye-opening. I mean, that's something they can continue to build off of. And he's already proving to be one of the best defensive backs, particularly a young defensive back in the MSFL and in spring football period. So it's very exciting to watch him, and I'll be excited to see what he can do for the rest of the season. Walsh stays at home in a very interesting matchup next week as they welcome fellow newcomer Oakland City, as one of those teams will walk away with their first win in program history and their first win of the season. Next up, we have St. Mary the Woods College versus Oakland City. Score was a lot different in this one. St. Mary the Woods College won this one 59-0. That's actually the most points scored so far in the infancy of the MSFL. My player of the game, 2 guys, junior running back Keandre Jones, 130 yards with 2 touchdowns, and sophomore running back Patrick Pereira, 97 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 receptions for 33 yards. You know, St. Mary the Woods College dominated in this one. You know, ain't no other way to slice it. Passing game, interestingly enough, though, the passing game is still in development with them. New quarterback this year, junior quarterback Jeremiah Toski. He threw 441 yards, 1 touchdown with 2 interceptions. So even the teams who are winning, it's not all clicking just yet, particularly in the MSFL where everybody's only in their second season. You know, that's not the season everybody clicks. You know, somebody has to win. There's a natural hierarchy that's taking place. But they will be even better by the time they get to year 4. Year 4 and year 5 is really that click year. It's really that year when you got your core group of guys. They're all juniors now. They're all seniors now. Everybody 20, 21, 22, 23, however age you slice it, depending on what age guys came in. They all have mature bodies. They all have mature minds. They all been running the same offense and the same defense for a couple of years. So even they aren't at their best yet. And that makes these performances even more impressive. For St. Mary the Woods College. You know, I can't wait to see Patrick Pereira in his senior year. You know what I'm saying? I can't wait to see Carlos Munoz in his senior year. This is only their sophomore season. So, again, testament to the impressive level of play they've played so far this year. And, again, their 10th game as a program, 9th game as a program, whatever the case may be. Again, those 2 running backs combined for 227 yards with 3 touchdowns. And 7 different Pomeroys scored a rushing touchdown. So, 7 different guys scored a total of 8 rushing touchdowns is just a testament to the commitment to the running game there and the effective recruiting that they have to bring in these type of players. And cannot say enough positive things about the offensive line. You watched that game and there was movement. You know, it was an understatement. They were moving guys around, pushing guys around. So definitely going to be something to watch out for them for the rest of the season. And it appears this is going to be a staple of this program moving forward. Sophomore tight end Carlos Munoz led the team through the air. He had 4 receptions for 40 yards. And then freshman defensive lineman Emiliano Gale Bravo, he led the team. He tied for the team lead with 4 tackles, but also had three of those tackles be tackles for loss. So big, big game for the freshman up front. St. Mary the Woods College heads home next week as they welcome Fompon as 2-2-0 teams get together. One of those teams will have their first loss of the season. Again, Oklahoma City dropped this one. You know, a lot of the same things I said about Washington. I can say about Oklahoma City, a lot to be, you know, happy about there. You can see the talent. You can see the guys. You can see there's capable players there. Just did not get this one. And you can see why St. Mary the Woods College won the championship last year. So it was one of the new guys running into the champ. You know, you get scores like this, especially Oklahoma City being, you know, one of the two new teams in the league in the MSFL this year. Freshman quarterback Jacob Lee struggled, 79 yards passing, 2 interceptions. And as a team, Oklahoma City only had 24 positive rushing yards. So, again, these are just the licks you go through. This is initiation, you know what I'm saying? So they'll be better for it. The players will be better for it. The coaches will be better for it. That'll be taped. It probably goes into the archives there, so we never forget. But the program will improve. The program will improve. Can't tell you what the record's going to be for the rest of this year. Can't tell you who's going to be there next year. But the guys who are there, they will remember. They will remember, and they will be better for it. Defensive side of the ball, you know, freshman defensive lineman Keith Hall, 7 tackles, 3 tackles for loss. You know, freshman defensive back Tyler Young, 7 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. So there's still guys out there making plays. Like I said, it's just going to take time. You can't cheat this process. It's probably one of the slowest processes in sports. It's a new football program going against some powers. You know, I'm sure it's difficult starting a new basketball team. I'm sure it's difficult starting a new baseball team. But just something about football and the physicality and all the moving pieces you need to have a successful team, it's going to be impossible to have that in year one. You know, especially when you're going up against teams who aren't in year one. So they'll be better. Oklahoma City will be better. You know, I expect them to be better next week. And they'll be better as a program moving forward. And again, they are going to be playing in Walsh next week. So one of those teams will get their first win of the season, as well as their first win in franchise history, program history. Next up, we have Fompon versus Midway. Fompon won this one 20-13. You know, you look at Midway last season, who did not win a game, and now they're playing tight games. You know, last year they played a lot of tight games with some of these teams, but one score game losing to Fompon. You know what I'm saying? So you even take a look at Midway, who was at the bottom of the league last year. They're vastly better. Vastly better. You know, and they don't even have a lot of the same guys from last year. Some of those guys, you know, moved on. A lot of the guys who did return, you can see a vast improvement, like Gavin Lay. They're better. So, you know, the future is bright for Walsh and Oakland City, just like it's going to be bright for Midway, despite this loss. I'll get into them in a second. But my player of the game in this one was sophomore athlete Chris Reckle. He had 11 receptions for 134 yards. Fompon's come into the season vastly improved. You know, they were in the bottom half of the league last year, and now they started this year 2-0. Freshman quarterback Tamaj Taylor threw for 338 yards with 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Freshman has shown a lot of promise so far to start the season. Again, the turnover issue is real. You know, that's something they want to work on. I'm sure he wants to work on as an individual athlete and as offensive play callers. You never want to turn the ball over this consistently. But again, he's threatening for yardage. Passing the ball was one of their weaknesses last year in terms of consistency. And he's had a 220-yard game and a 330-yard game back-to-back. So they're definitely getting better there. Big reason for that is the play of Chris Reckle, who career day, career high, 11 receptions, career high, 134 yards. He also saw some time at quarterback. He's the designated backup quarterback, evidently. When Taylor went out a little bit, looked like cramps. You know, he went out maybe once or twice, returned not too long after. He did play the majority of quarterback last year. He was their all-league athlete. He was all MSFL honoree and all CFL Hub honoree just as an athlete because he was playing quarterback. He's a runner. He's taking jet sweeps. He's one of their best receivers. And he's their best receiver so far this year. And it's just a testament to his ability. He's one of the best athletes between both leagues easily. And he's somebody they're going to lean on heavy again. Because he's shown he's capable of doing it, maybe watch some trickery with him at quarterback. Maybe watch some design runs with him. Whenever they get into a situation where they stall out, would not be surprised at all if they just have Reckle be that gadget guy where, like, hey, we're going to give you the pill, make it happen. Wildcat. straight quarterback, legit pass the ball, jet sweeps. Again, all those type of things. Line up one-on-one and beat this corner. You know what I'm saying? Old-fashioned way. So he's definitely going to be one of the best players in the MSFL, and I think he's quickly becoming that, you know, as the weeks go on, and only his second season. Defensive side of the ball, they have another star. They have Avion Bass, who, again, I can't say enough positive things about watching him play. You know, is one of the most impressive players, you know, I've seen. Star linebacker finished this one, 8 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss with 3.5 sacks. You know, he's played all over for them. He lines up at Mike. He lines up at Will. He lines up at Sam. He creeps up to the line of scrimmage as a designated defense end. He creeps up to the line of scrimmage as a blitzer from that Will and Sam position. You know, he can blitz up the middle. He can cover. He chases guys down. He chases skill players down. So he's one of the most well-rounded athletes in the MSFL or the CSFL. And, you know, he could be on – we could be watching the trajectory of an all-time great, you know, Hall of Fame-level career. Again, not quite 10, 11 tackles in this one, but he had a 70-tackle season last year as a freshman. He had 77 tackles, I believe. So he's a guy you got to watch for averaging, you know, 50, 60, 70 tackles a season. So he's one of my favorite players to watch. You know, I thoroughly enjoy watching Fompon games every single week. Getting able to see him play that linebacker position and that do-it-all position, you know, that he does for Fompon. You know, one of his teammates, a sophomore linebacker, Clayton Arrowwood, had a great game. One of the best games of his career. He had 8 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 2 sacks with a PBU. So you just look at the improvement a lot of these guys are making from year one to year two. You know, the good players have gotten even better. And some of the players who weren't bad, they're just, you know, I'm a freshman, I'm out here, I'm getting better. They made that natural, huge leap you make from year one to year two. So it's going to be so impressive to see a lot of these guys throughout all the MSFL teams continue to improve and just speculate where they're going to be by the time they're seniors and how great a football they're going to be playing. Fompon hits the road next week to take on St. Mary of the Woods College. Again, both teams going to this one undefeated. Midway showed some life in this one, but they could not quite pull out the victory. They did have some offensive struggles, you know, reminiscent of last season, which saw them go winless. They only had 76 yards of total offense. Junior quarterback Connor Baker threw for 91 yards, touchdown and interception. And as a team, Midway actually ended up with negative rushing yardage. So that's not going to be something that's going to be, you know, conducive of winning football games, especially tough games. But again, they've improved. They've improved immensely. And they're already in a better position than they were last year, being 1-1 in their first two games. Defensively, again, some guys really popped. Freshman defensive back Savion Lyle Burney had maybe the longest touchdown in Pro Football history, for all we know. He had a 100-yard, you know, INT return for a touchdown, went up and got it in the end zone. You know, they really only list INTs as like 99 yards, but he caught the ball like at the 105, like in the middle of the end zone. So what's that, 105, 106 from the point where he caught it to the other end zone? So over a 100-yard return. You know what I'm saying? He didn't catch it on the goal line and run it back. That's 99. You know what I'm saying? He caught it like at the logo of the end zone and then took that sucker all the way back. So 100-plus yard return in my book, which, again, might be the longest ever. It'd be impossible to find a tape, possible to find the records, but It's up there, that's for sure. I can't imagine there's too many of those. It ain't too many of those in Division 3, 2, or 1. It ain't too many of those in the NFL anyway. I think Ed Reed got the longest one in the NFL against the Eagles. So a testament to his ability. And again, they fought all the way to finish. So they're going to be in a good position to compete in more games moving forward and definitely play some good football. Midway hits home for their home opener next week against Bellarmine. Last one of the weekend, we have Bellarmine versus CCSJ. Bellarmine won this one 25-14. My player of the game was sophomore linebacker Caleb Murray. 6 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, 1 forced fumble, and 1 fumble recovery. This one was pretty close all the way through. You know, the score kind of got away a little bit, 11-point difference, but it was like 18-14 for a minute with CCJ actually leading for a good chunk of the second half. But Bellarmine pulled it out. Freshman quarterback Luke Worley looked better in week two than he did week one. Week one, they had barely any passing yards. This time he went over his first game over 100 yards. But still no touchdowns for the freshman just yet. So they're still looking to develop their passing game. He threw for 115 with 2 INTs. So I know it'll be a big, big deal for them when they finally get things clicking and going through the air, because they have one of the most dominant running games in the CSFL or the MSFL. But that being said, the running game actually wasn't super effective against CCSJ, who's been shown to have strong run defense, playing Bellarmine, playing their rival so far in their young program's careers, St. Mary Woods College. But again, they still managed to pull out the win. Freshman running back Derek Gant led the team with only 23 rushing yards. He had a touchdown. I think for the first game in Brendan Reed's MSFL career, had negative rushing yardage. You know, obviously you're going to keen on him. You know, the MSFL MVP last year. Obviously, you're going to keen on him after the first game. He had 230 with a couple of touch. I think 230 and four tutties. So, obviously, we're going to keen on him. And they did a good job of not allowing him to get off. But, again, a testament to Brendan Reed as a player and a teammate. Some of their best runs is with him as a lead blocker. You know, he's willing to stick his nose in there and block and contribute by any means necessary. And it's just a testament to the type of player he is and the type of teammate he is. I know guys love playing with him. You could just tell. I know I would love playing with a guy who, even if he don't got a rolling, he's still willing to stick his face in the fire. And he not pouting or nothing like that. So, you know, big ups to Bellarmine for that. And big ups to Reed being an integral guy, even when Gant, who's looking like a really, really good freshman running back, is the guy who has it going on this particular night. Freshman wide receiver Tyler Smith. Who's like the fifth Tyler Smith to play in spring football, by the way? Shout out to all the Tyler Smiths that have played before. Alderson Brodus, Chestnut Hill, and then we got another Tyler Smith at Bellarmine. So that's just a fun little fact right there. He led the team with 5 receptions for 47 yards. The Knights' defense, again, was led by Caleb Murray. The defense statistics were really, really well balanced, but, again, it was what they needed. It was what was called upon this particular night. Fumble recovery from Luke Jackson late. And an INT from graduate linebacker Devin Hendricks won the game for Bellarmine. So their defensive guys came up really, really strong and ultimately sealed the game for them. So you never know where it's going to come from. You know, 1 week we're running for like almost 300 yards. The next week we barely got 50. But a win is a win. You know what I'm saying? It's going to look different week to week, particularly in MSFL where, you know, we only have so many teams in MSFL and CSFL, so our teams get to know each other quite intimately, and you know what we want to do, and we know where they want to go. So testament to those guys for playing strong, playing well, even when their usual method of attack wasn't quite working. Knights hit the road next week as they go to visit Midway. Other side of this one, we had CCSJ. Again, they were in it, and they had to lead for a little bit, but Knights defensive players just stole the game from them. Freshman quarterback Destry Peoples threw for 119 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT. Sophomore running back Elijah Antis, he led the team with 91 yards and a touchdown. His early touchdown early in the game was 44 yards. He looked like he was unstoppable. He ran through a couple people, drug one or two other people, and outran the rest of the defense. You know, he's a guy I'm really, really high on. I think he had a breakout campaign. You know, had a very, very quiet first game, you know, which was not what I was expecting. But I think as the season goes on, you'll really see him wake up as, you know, things tend to click as you go on throughout the season. I think he could be a guy who could be an all-league performer. You know, he was kind of stuck behind Jonathan Flemings last year. He's no longer with the program. But even last year with those secondary-level carries, you saw what he could be. I think he ran last year for over 150 yards, maybe 200 yards, 4 or 5 touchdowns, throwing an extra one or two two-point conversions in there as well. You know, he showed he's capable. And I think he's proving he could be the bell cow for this team, you know, as they look to do good things and capitalize on a very, very impressive season they had last year. Sophomore wide receiver Clajon Cash led the team with 2 receptions, 58 yards, and a touchdown. You get to the defensive side of the ball. Their defensive guys, man, they always show up. They always show up. I don't think I've seen a bad game from Trevor Boosie. He's had 10 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 forced fumble. And I don't think I've seen a bad game from Quintarius Davis, who's their corner, who's, I think, fully now established to be one of the best corners in the CSFL or the MSFL. I think it's fully established now. You know, how many games does it take for a player to keep making top plays to prove he's a top player? I think he's made more than enough top plays against top players to prove he is a top player. He finished this one with 2 tackles and 2 INTs to help CCSJ take the lead for a while. So he's a guy who I think week in, week out is going to be a tough, tough matchup for any wide receiver. You know, I'm looking forward to him, seeing him, you know, line up with Chris Reckel. They have another receiver there, David Collins, who's a really, really good freshman. I'm looking forward to him lining up with some of those lost receivers. I'm looking forward to see him line up with maybe with college receivers, even though their running game is what's been their bread and butter so far. They want to pass the ball. They have an older quarterback, a little bit more mature than a lot of freshmen and sophomores starting. So I know they want to get that passing game going. I'm looking forward to that matchup, personally, me. So he's one of the more exciting players to watch, and CCSJ has some guys who, you know, despite the stardom they've reached up until this point, have another tier that I believe that they definitely could reach, especially as defensive players. CCSJ hits the road next week as they take on Quincy. So those are our week two reviews. Again, sorry for dropping this late. Just got really, really busy towards the end of the week and the end of the weekend. But getting you guys what you're looking forward to. Week three should be back to a normal cadence. Should come out that same Sunday where I put out the articles and the graphics and all of that good stuff. So this has been your week two review. Host, as always, Kyle. Looking forward to seeing you guys next week. Peace.